This is the universe speaking to you. You are now tuned into the Modern Spiritual Life Coaching Podcast by the certified master life coach and spiritual guide, Coach Chip. Welcome, souls. We now begin this episode of a transformational journey. Unedited, unscripted, and creating something from nothingness. Now, let there be light on modern spiritual life coaching.
This is episode 118. Coming up is the Heavenly Life mini-series. This is the Morning Gratitudes Fried Friday on the Modern Spiritual Podcast Live.
It's fun and easy to join the Modern Spiritual Podcast mailing list directly from your phone. Just send your email address by text message text the word Modern Spiritual to 22828 to get started. Try it now. Send your email address by text message. Text the word Modern Spiritual to 22828 to get started. Message and data rates may apply.
Now here's your host, Master Certified Alchemy Coach Chip, on the Modern Spiritual Podcast Live.
Hey, that's a good morning on this morning gratitude of the Friday, the Modern Spiritual Podcast, and this Labor Day weekend. So I hope everybody will begin to use the wisdom to be safe for you, your family, and everybody around you. Have some courtesy of others, please. Because as of yesterday, I went down to the corner store to get a Subway for a quick dinner, and I saw massive loads of traffic and people coming out of nowhere. So obviously, they're doing their own things for the Labor Day weekend because they're tired, quarantined, but they know what the repercussions are going to be. And hopefully, like me, you will use the wisdom to stay safe. But anyway, we have a mini-series that we're doing here. It's called The Heavenly Life by James Allen. And there's 10 parts to this. Last episode, I told you that we did probably 8 that we're going to do. But no, we're going to do 10. I found 2 more on the back end that I didn't notice until I went in and took a look at it again. Because these are awesome stories. I mean, they will heighten your wisdom just by listening to this stuff. And that's what this program's all about, helping you get through your spiritual awakening into an enlightenment, into the light of the light. So right now we've got The Heavenly Life, and this is going to be the original, simplistic, and unfailing of wisdom. And this one's going to be leading us into part 3 and 4. But let's waste no more time and let's get into it right now, because this is a very exciting story that everybody's waiting to hear right here on the Modern Spiritual Podcast.
The Heavenly Life, Chapter 3, The Original Simplicity. Life is simple. Being is simple. The universe is simple. Complexity arises in ignorance and self-delusion. The quote, original simplicity of Lao Tzu is a term expressive of the universe as it is and not as it appears. Looking through the woven network of his own illusions, man sees interminable complications and unfathomable mystery, and so loses himself in the labyrinths of his own making. Let a man put away egotism, and he will see the universe in all the beauty of its pristine simplicity. Let him annihilate the delusion of the personal pronoun I, and he will destroy all the illusions which spring from that I. He will thus re-become a little child and will revert to original simplicity. When a man succeeds in entirely forgetting, annihilating his personal self, he becomes a mirror in which the universal reality is faultlessly reflected. He is awakened, and henceforth he lives, not in dreams, but in realities. Pythagoras saw the universe in the 10 numbers, but even this simplicity may be further reduced, and the universe ultimately be found to be contained in the number 1. For all the numerals and all their infinite complications are but additions of the 1. Let life cease to be lived as a fragmentary thing, and let it be lived as a perfect whole. The simplicity of the perfect will then be revealed. How shall the fragment comprehend the whole? Yet how simple that the whole should comprehend the fragment. How shall sin perceive holiness? Yet how plain that holiness should understand sin. He who would become the greater, let him abandon the lesser. In no form is the circle contained, but in the circle all forms are contained. In no color is the radiant light imprisoned, but in the radiant light all colors are embodied. Let a man destroy all the forms of self, and he shall apprehend the circle of perfection. Let him submerge in the silent depths of his being the varying colors of his thoughts and desires, and he shall be illuminated with the white light of divine knowledge. In the perfect chord of music, the single note, though forgotten, is indispensably contained, and the drop of water becomes of supreme usefulness by losing itself in the ocean. Sink yourself compassionately in the heart of humanity, and you will reproduce the harmonies of heaven. Lose yourself in unlimited love toward all, and you will work enduring works and shall become one with the eternal ocean of bliss. Man evolves outward to the periphery of complexity, and then devolves backward to the central simplicity. When a man discovers that it is mathematically impossible for him to know the universe before knowing himself, then he starts upon the way which leads to the original simplicity. He begins to unfold from within, and as he unfolds himself, he enfolds the universe. Cease to speculate about God and find the all-embracing good within you. Then you shall see the emptiness and vanity of speculation, knowing yourself one with God. He who will not give up his secret lust, his covetousness, his anger, his opinion about this or that, can see nor know nothing. He will remain a dullard in the school of wisdom, though he be accounted learned in the colleges. If a man would find the key of knowledge, let him find himself. Your sins are not yourself. They are not any part of yourself. They are diseases which you have come to love. Cease to cling to them, and they will no longer cling to you. Let them fall away, and yourself shall stand revealed. You shall then know yourself as comprehensive vision, invincible principle, immortal life, and eternal good. The impure man believes impurity to be his rightful condition, but the pure man knows himself as pure being. He also, penetrating the veils, sees all others as pure being. Purity is extremely simple and needs no argument to support it. Impurity is interminably complex and is ever involved in defensive argument. Truth lives itself. A blameless life is the only witness of truth. Men cannot see and will not accept the witness until they find it within themselves, and having found it, a man becomes silent before his fellows. Truth is so simple that it cannot be found in the region of argument and advertisement, and so silent that it is only manifested in actions. So extremely simple is original simplicity that a man must let go his hold of everything before he can perceive it. The great arch is strong by virtue of the hollowness underneath, and a wise man becomes strong and invincible by emptying himself. Meekness, patience, love, compassion, and wisdom, these are the dominant qualities of original simplicity. Therefore, the imperfect cannot understand it. Wisdom only can apprehend wisdom. Therefore, the fool says, "No man is wise." The imperfect man says, "No man can be perfect," and he therefore remains where he is. Though he live with a perfect man all his life, he shall not behold his perfection. Meekness he will call cowardice, patience, love, and compassion he will see as weakness, and wisdom will appear to him as folly. Faultless discrimination belongs to the perfect whole, and resides not in any part. Therefore, men are exhorted to refrain from judgment until they have themselves manifested the perfect life. Arriving at original simplicity, opacity disappears, and the universal transparency becomes apparent. He who has found the indwelling reality of his own being has found the original and universal reality. Knowing the divine heart within, all hearts are known, and the thoughts of all men become his who has become the master of his own thoughts. Therefore, the good man does not defend himself, but molds the minds of others to his own likeness. As the problematical transcends crudity, so pure goodness transcends the problematical. All problems vanish when pure goodness is reached. Therefore, the good man is called the slayer of illusions. What problem can vex where sin is not? O you who would strive loudly and rest not, retire into the holy silence of your own being and live therefrom. So shall you, finding pure goodness, rend in twain the veil of the temple of illusion, and shall enter into the patience, peace, and transcendent glory of the perfect, for pure goodness and original simplicity are one.
That's the ending of part 3, The Original Simplicity of a Heavenly Life. Now here's part 4, The Unfailing of Wisdom of a Heavenly Life on the Modern Spiritual Podcast.
The Heavenly Life, The Unfailing Wisdom. A man should be superior to his possessions, his body, his circumstances and surroundings, and the opinions of others, and their attitude towards him. Until he is this, he is not strong and steadfast. He should also rise superior to his own desires and opinions. Until he is this, he is not wise. The man who identifies himself with his possessions will feel that all is lost when these are lost. He who regards himself as the outcome and the tool of circumstances will weakly fluctuate with every change in his outward condition. And great will be his unrest and pain who seeks to stand upon the approbation of others. To detach oneself from every outward thing and to rest securely upon the inward virtue, this is unfailing wisdom. Having this wisdom, a man will be the same whether in riches or poverty. The one cannot add to his strength, nor the other rob him of his serenity. Neither can riches defile him who has washed away all the inward defilement, nor lack of them degrade him who has ceased to degrade the temple of his soul. To refuse to be enslaved by any outward thing or happening, regarding all such things and happenings as for your use, for your education, this is wisdom. To the wise, all occurrences are good, and, having no eye for evil, they grow wiser every day. They utilize all things, and thus put all things under their feet. They see all their mistakes as soon as made, and accept them as lessons of intrinsic value, knowing that there are no mistakes in the divine order. They thus rapidly approach the divine perfection. They are moved by none, yet learn from all. They crave love from no one, yet give love to all. To learn and not be shaken, to love where one is not loved, herein lies the strength which shall never fail a man. The man who says in his heart, "I will teach all men and learn from none," will neither teach nor learn whilst he is in that frame of mind, but will remain in his folly. All strength and wisdom and power and knowledge a man will find within himself, but he will not find it in egotism. He will only find it in obedience, submission, and willingness to learn. He must obey the higher and not glorify himself in the lower. He who stands upon egotism, rejecting reproof, instruction, and the lessons of experience, will surely fall. Yea, he is already fallen. Said a great teacher to his disciples, "Those who shall be a lamp unto themselves, relying upon themselves only and not relying upon any external help, but holding fast to the truth as their lamp, and seeking their salvation in the truth alone, shall not look for assistance to any besides themselves. It is they among my disciples who shall reach the very topmost height, but they must be willing to learn." The wise man is always anxious to learn, but never anxious to teach, for he knows that the true teacher is in the heart of every man, and must ultimately be found there by all. The foolish man, being governed largely by vanity, is very anxious to teach, but unwilling to learn, not having found the holy teacher within who speaks wisdom to the humbly listening soul. Be self-reliant, but let your self-reliance be saintly and not selfish. Folly and wisdom, weakness and strength, are within a man, and not in any external thing. Neither do they spring from any external cause. A man cannot be strong for another. He can only be strong for himself. He cannot overcome for another. He can only overcome for himself. You may learn of another, but you must accomplish for yourself. Put away all external props and rely upon the truth within you. Creed will not bear a man up in the hour of temptation. He must possess the inward knowledge which slays temptation. A speculative philosophy will prove a shadowy thing in the time of calamity, A man must have the inward wisdom which puts an end to grief. Goodness, which is the aim of all religions, is distinct from religions themselves. Wisdom, which is the aim of every philosophy, is distinct from all philosophies. The unfailing wisdom is found only by constant practice in pure thinking and well-doing, by harmonizing one's mind and heart to those things which are beautiful, lovable, and true. In whatever condition a man finds himself, he can always find the true, and he can find it only by so utilizing his present condition as to become strong and wise. The effeminate hankering after rewards and the craven fear of punishment, let them be put away forever, and let a man joyfully bend himself to the faithful performance of all his duties, forgetting himself and his worthless pleasures, and living strong and pure and self-contained. So shall he surely find the unfailing wisdom, the godlike patience and strength. The situation that has not its duty, its ideal, was never yet occupied by man. Here or nowhere is your ideal. Work it out therefrom, and working, believe, live, be free. The ideal is in yourself. The impediment, too, is in yourself. Your condition is but the stuff you are to shape that same ideal out of. What matters whether such stuff be of this sort or that, so the form you give it be heroic or poetic? O you that pine away in the imprisonment of the actual, and cry bitterly to the gods for a kingdom wherein to rule and create, know this of a truth. The thing you seek is already within you, here and now, could you only see. All that is beautiful and blessed is in yourself, not in your neighbor's wealth. Are you poor? You are poor indeed if you are not stronger than your poverty. You have suffered calamities? Well, will you cure calamity by adding anxiety to it? Can you mend a broken vase by weeping over it, or restore a lost delight by your lamentations? There is no evil but will vanish if you will wisely meet it. The godlike soul does not grieve over that which has been, is, or will be, but perpetually finds the divine good and gains wisdom by every occurrence. Fear is the shadow of selfishness and cannot live where loving wisdom is. Doubt, anxiety, and worry are unsubstantial shades of the underworld of self and shall no more trouble him who will climb the serene altitudes of his soul. Grief also will be forever dispelled by him who will comprehend the law of his being. He who comprehends shall find the supreme law of life, and he shall find that it is love, that it is imperishable love. He shall become one with that love, and loving all with mind freed from all hatred and folly, he shall receive the invincible protection which love affords. Claiming nothing, he shall suffer no loss, seek no pleasure, he shall find no grief. And employing all his powers as instruments of service, he shall evermore live in the highest state of blessedness and bliss. Know this: you make and unmake yourself. You stand and fall by what you are. You are a slave if you prefer to be. You are a master if you will make yourself one. Build upon your animal desires and intellectual opinions, and you build upon the sand. Build upon virtue and holiness, and no wind or tide shall shake your strong abode. So shall the unfailing wisdom uphold you in every emergency, and the everlasting arms gather you to your peace. Lay up each year thy harvest of well-doing, wealth that kings nor thieves can take away. When all the things thou callest thine, goods, pleasures, honors, fall, thou in thy virtue shall survive them all.
That's the ending of part 4, The Unfailing of Wisdom of a Heavenly Life by James Allen. Tune into A Heavenly Life mini-series, part 5 and 6, will be on the Power Half Hour on Saturday 12 noon Arizona Mountain Time Zone, which is 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We ask for your moment of your thoughts about our programming. Please leave us your comments, likes, and follow us on our social media accounts to stay updated at modernspiritualpodcast.com. The Heavenly Life written by James Allen has been re-recorded by the Modern Spiritual Podcast Live.
Now it's fun and easy to join the Modern Spiritual Podcast mailing list directly from your phone. Just send your email address by text message. Text the word Modern Spiritual to 22828 to get started. Try it now. Send your email address by text message. Text the word Modern Spiritual to 22828 to get started. Message and data rates may apply.
And that's it for this episode. Until tomorrow, we'll be back with a mini-series of The Heavenly Life. And you're going to gain some more wisdom tomorrow, so be sure to check it out at 12 noon Mountain Arizona time. In the meantime, I'm going to pack up here and leave you guys with a Sound Soul Healing meditation. And this one's going to be The Imaginary Waterfalls. Wherever you may be listening to us from around the world, have a good day and a good night, and be safe. Until the next episode, I bid you another day.